my Bible? I am. I am. I am what it says that I am. I can do what it says that I can do. I can have what it says that I can have. Today, I will be taught the uncompromised Word of God. My mind is alert and my heart is receptive. I'll not leave the same as I came, in Jesus' name. And every time I come to Church on the Rock, my faith gets stronger and stronger. Give God your best Christmas Eve shout, would you? Amen. Open your Bible today to the New Testament, to the book of John, the Gospel of John. We're finishing a series this month, really talking about the peace of God. Before we get into it, just a couple things. I want to remind you again this afternoon at 5 o'clock, we're having a special Christmas Eve service. Pastor, isn't it just like this service? Well, let me tell you something. All three services on the weekend and our fourth service, our Church of the Rock Hispaniel, none of them are ever the same. If you come to all of our services, none of them are ever the same. So it's not the same. None of them are the same. But people are asking, isn't this afternoon the same? No, it's not. I have a special message. We're having a candlelight service. We're having communion. Our dance team is ministering. Video, worship, children, nursery, full blown, and free hot chocolate and cookies in the lobby with mood music. Amen. Yeah? So we're doing that. Why would you do that? That's extra work for me on Christmas Eve. That's extra work for our team and our staff. Now I'm giving them all week off. Next week paid. No Wednesday night service. So they can be with their family, be with their friend. But let me just give you a little commercial. We've already gone into the studio, and we've already taped Wednesday night's service. And so Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, you can go to our website, and you can watch worship, offering, word, altar call. And they told me, I'm not saying this, they told me it was the most anointed service of the year. I'm serious. It was just God came in. It was amazing. So we love you so much. We want to feed you even when it's holidays. Amen. So we came in, extra work, extra time to tape next Wednesday night's service. So even though it's canceled, so our staff could be blessed and be with their family, we can still have church with you. Yes. Everybody in? Amen. Amen. So we've been talking about all month the cure for worry and anxiety and fear and frustration all month long. We end it this morning on, you know, how do you and I deal with life? When we as a nation, you can go on the internet, they have these scales, these meters that judge worry and anxiety of nations. And America came in number one. In other words, we're the most stressed out nation, according to the internet, of any nation in the world. We're the most anxious people, the most worried people. And you know, really, I get it, because hurried people are worried people. Amen. So if that's true, and they say that it is, that we're the most stressed out nation in the world, all month long, I've been giving you the solution to stress. I've been giving you the answer to worry and anxiety. So we want to conclude with that today. Let's look at John chapter 14, John 14, and let's look at verse 23. Jesus answered, and he said, if a person really loves me, and I know you do today on Christmas Eve, right? If he really loves me, and he will keep my word, obey my word. You know, it's one thing to come to church and hear the word. It's another thing to come and hear and do the word. Because we're not blessed in going to church. We all know that. We're not blessed in hearing messages. We all know that. We've all forgotten what I taught last Sunday. But we're blessed when we immediately apply, obey what we've heard from God's word. That's where we become blessed. So notice he said, if you love me, really love me, if you'll keep my word, obey my teaching. Now, we've already discussed this, that you and I, it's not God's will for us to worry and be anxious, frustrated, and in fear. Am I right? Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, we've already read it. He said, don't worry about anything. Don't be anxious about anything. Well, if that's God's word, it's God's will. And so if we've read it, if we know it, then we're accountable for the light and the revelation of it. You understand what I mean by that? You know, whatever church you go to and whatever revelation they have, you and I are held responsible for that revelation. To whom much is given, much is required. If you're not given much in church, you're not required much from church. But if you're given much revelation from the Word of God, if you and I get much light, then we're held accountable for what we've heard and what we know. Well, we know it's not God's will for you to worry about your health, your kids, your house, your car payment, your future. It's not God's will that we worry. It's not God's will that we be anxious. So when we do worry, we're out of God's will. Is that right, church? We're not obeying God's word when we worry and we're anxious and we're fearful. Now, we've already been taught this month, what do we do with our worry? We're to surrender it to God. We're to give it to God. Now, it comes to all of us. We've all got things to worry about today, right? We all have things we could be anxious over. But the thing is we're not going to live there. We're not going to abide there. We know that worry comes and anxiety comes, but we're not going to let it control us. We're not going to let it dominate us. We're going to control our emotions. Our emotions are not going to control us. Can I have a yes in the house today? All right, so, you know, we really need to look at the light of that, not to skim over that. Because if we want to have the peace of God, you know, you got to have peace with God before you can have the peace of God. You got to get born again. You got to become a Christian. You got to let God be at home in you and you at home in him. Then you have the privilege and the benefit of tapping into the peace of God. And the peace of God is the answer to all your problems today. It's his peace that leads us. It's his peace that leads us. If we're confused today, if we're anxious today, if we're worried today, then we lack the peace of God and we'll make wrong choices, wrong decisions, take the wrong road because we can't hear his voice if we don't have his peace. Amen. So he said, those that really love me, those that obey my word, my Father will love them, and we, everyone say we. Church on the Rock, we believe in the Trinity, don't we, church? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. When you become a Christian, when you are reconciled to God, when you have peace with God, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit come inside you and make the residence at home, dwelling place inside the believer. So he says here, we will come into them and make our. Everyone say our. So we and our denotes Trinity, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You know, Pastor, I don't quite understand that. I've heard they're one, but how can they be one and three different people? How can they be one and three distinct different people? Well, this morning I ate an egg for breakfast. I ate an egg for breakfast. And you know, there are three parts to an egg. You guys are worth waiting for on Christmas Eve. Is there is a shell, and then there's the white, and then there's the yolk. There's three in one. Three distinct parts, but yet we refer to it as an egg. When we look at the Godhead, it's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I won't go any deeper than that today. I can already feel it. I feel the love. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay, so he says, we will come and make our home in you. Verse 27, let's look at it. Verse 27, peace I leave with you. So now that we have peace with God, we can have the peace of God. Now we can live a life that's stable in every storm of life. And folks, this is one thing I know, storms will come. But y'all are building your house on the rock, not on sand. Y'all building your house on Christmas Eve. God's so proud of you today. You're building your house on the rock. And when, not if, 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 the storms of life come, you'll be stable on a rock when the storms hit your house, and your house will not fall. Come on, give the Lord a good praise, would you? Wow. You know, I really feel the anointing of the Prince of Peace here today. Yeah, isn't, you know, we're celebrating Jesus in a manger, but he's no longer in a manger. Yeah, he came as a resident. Soon he'll come back as president. Yeah, you know, everybody's looking for peace. Every leader in our nation is trying to find peace. Well, the only place you're going to find peace is in the Prince of Peace. He's Mighty Counselor, right? He's Mighty God. He's the Prince of Peace. Oh, my goodness. So he said, peace I leave with you. Now, you have to understand, they're at the Last Supper. Remember those pictures of the Last Supper? What were they doing there, Pastor? John 14, John 15, John 16, John 17. That's what they were doing at the Last Supper. What are they talking about, Pastor? John 14, John 15, John chapter 16, John chapter 17. So notice he said, peace I leave with you. Now this is a supernatural peace. This is the God kind of peace. Can I give you the definition of the Bible peace? Definition of the Bible peace means to bind together. To bind together. The definition of Bible peace, now there are lots of Greek words for peace in the Bible, lots of Hebrew words in the Old Testament for peace, but the one I want to bring to your attention is that the peace of God means to bind together. Pastor, I don't get that. How can I apply that to my life? Well, to bind together, it means to be in unity. It means to be in agreement. Now think about that now. So I'll never have the peace that comes from God until I'm in agreement with God. I can be born again. I can accept him, but not abide in him. I'll run that back one more time. You're worth it on this. This is huge. Two words, letter A. You can accept Christ, but yet not abide in Christ. How do you abide in Christ? By agreeing with what he already said. So today, whatever storm you're in, are you speaking your emotions? Are you speaking your feelings, or are you saying what he already said in the Bible? If I'm not saying what he's already said, I'm not binding with him. I'm not in agreement with him. Thus, I won't experience his peace in the storm. If I'm not living according in agreement with his will for my life. If I'm out of the will of God, then I'm not abiding in him, so I won't sense his presence, thus I won't have his peace. Even though it's available to me and I'm a Christian and I go to church every Sunday, I've accepted him, but I'm not abiding in him. To abide in him means to agree with him. And I'll never have the peace of God till I agree with him. Instead of talking negative, critical, fear words, lack words, defeated words, that's out of the agreement of God's will. Because God says you're more than a conqueror. You need to talk like one, even in a storm. So when you're agreeing with what God said, saying what he said, you're in agreement, you're bound together, you're in unity, you will experience his peace. Cool? Now, Bible peace. Now, please don't throw any rocks. If you're visiting, check it out. Bible Dictionary. The peace of God, definition, means to bind together with God, to come in agreement with God, to be in unity with God in your thought life, in your thought life, in your thought life, in your mouth, in your heart, in your attitudes, in your actions. That you have turned your life over to him and said, God, I'm here for your plan, your will, your assignment for my life. And when you do all of that, you'll begin to experience the peace of God. Even though the problems are still there, you're stable in the storm. Can somebody give the Lord a big praise? Come on, give God the best praise. Hallelujah. So he said, peace I leave with you. Now, when you have that peace, Bible Dictionary, it says that this peace produces wholeness, soundness, complete, and prosperity, health, prosperity and health, and a fulfilled life. Now, I double dog dare you to buy a Bible Dictionary and see if I'm right or not. We have some in our bookstore. That's actually what the peace of God will do in your life. It'll give you a fulfilled life, prosperity and health, completeness, wholeness, soundness, and victory. That's the peace of God. So he said, peace I leave with you. My own peace I now give to you, not as the world gives to you. So now, do not. Everybody say, do not. So that means if you do not, you can do. Right? You can let it happen or not let it happen. I say, let's take authority over our circumstances, over the storms of life. So he says, stop allowing yourself to be agitated, worried, anxious, fearful, disturbed. Do not permit yourself to be fearful. Now let's go to John chapter 16. Remember, Last Supper, Jesus is about to be crucified. He's leaving the planet. His disciples are worried, they're anxious, they're fearful. John 14, 15, 16, 17 is the Last Supper. The Last Supper conversation. So look what he says in John 16. I've told you these things. I've told you these things. Now what is he saying? Referring to what I've previously said. How does faith come? By hearing and hearing what he has said. I want to challenge you. I want to challenge you for next year. Don't believe for some of God's promises. Believe for all of God's promises. I want to challenge you to pray the prayer of Jabez, that God would enlarge your borders, that God would bless your family, that you would step through fear, worry, anxiety, and make a difference with your life and step out in faith and go where you've never gone before. And don't just believe for some of the things that he said. Believe for all of the things that he said. There are 7,000 promises in the Bible. Let's don't just go for 500. Let's just don't go for 1,000. Let's just don't go for 2,000 or 3,000 or 4,000. Come on, somebody. Can I have a witness in the house today? Let's go for all of the promises of God. Now give the Lord your best praise this morning. Christmas Eve. Hallelujah. He said, I've told you these things so that in me. Where does it come from? In him. Where does the peace come from that's going to help you sleep at night, raise your family, find the right wife, find the right husband, find the right job, make the right investment? Where is the peace of God that we're looking for, the world's looking for, that's the cure for anxiety and worry and fear and frustration? Where does it come from? It comes from being in him. So the peace we're talking about comes from and is developed by a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. It comes through and by a relationship. This peace that I'm talking about doesn't come from money, doesn't come from things. It comes from a relationship. This peace comes from being rooted, grounded in God so that you're stable in every storm of life. Oh, what would a witness, what kind of witness would that be next year where you work? When people, things happen and they're rocked, their world is shaken, and you're unmovable. You're unstoppable. You're unshakable. What kind of witness would that be? That'd be a good one, wouldn't it? So he says, I've told you these things, that's the word, so that in me, capital M, in me, you may have perfect peace. Now, what is that perfect peace? It comes from being bound together. It comes from agreeing. Are you talking defeat, lack, fear, worry, or are you talking faith? What are you worried about today? And what are you saying about what you're worried about today? It's one thing to shout Honolulu, jalapeno, hallelujah at church, and another thing to go worry about your bills at home. This too does not compute. Amen. All right? So he says that when we agree with God with what we say in his word, and we agree with God in our thinking process, in our actions, we agree with his will for our life, his plan for our life, we speak his word instead of how we feel, then we're going to experience the peace of God in the midst of a storm. So he says, perfect peace, confidence, in the world you will have trouble. In the world you'll have tribulation, trials, distress, frustration. So notice he said, as long as you're alive, he said, you're going to have problems. Isn't that good news? Pastor, I don't want any more problems. I'm tired of problems. Well, you know what? The only way I can fix that is on the way out, I'll have Don shoot you. And if you're a Christian, you don't have any more problems. If you're not a Christian, you got problems just started. Going to hell. Amen? So you're always going to have problems. So the peace of God does not mean your life is absence of all problems. To have the peace of God doesn't mean your life is hunky-dory. To have the peace of God does not mean that you don't have any problems and it's a good day. No, the peace of God means in the midst of your problems, you are declaring God's promises. It is releasing his peace. And you are living from the inside out. Everybody say inside,
inside
out.
Out.
Say it again, inside,
inside
out.
Out.
Say it again, inside,
inside
out. In other words, we're not driven by people, problems, or pressure, or our culture. We are led by the Holy Spirit and that inward voice from the inside. We're not going to be squeezed. We're not going to conform. We're not going to make a concession. We're not going to compromise. We're not going to be outside led, outside driven. We're going to be inside led by that inward peace. Amen. So you're going to have problems. And you know what I know? They get bigger as you walk with God. I don't want big problems, Pastor. Well, if you want a big vision and a big dream, you're going to have big problems. People with a little vision, little problems. Yeah, okay, Pastor, I decided little vision. No, 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 no. That's not God's will for your life. Amen. So he said, I've told you these things so that in me you have perfect peace. In the world, you're going to have problems, never going to get rid of them. So what do? You respond with the right attitude. You be of good cheer. You be of good cheer. Now remember, he's talking about having peace in the midst of problems, and he says you should respond with an attitude of joy. If you're a note taker, if you want to be successful, you got to have the right attitude. Number two, you got to have the right motivation. Number one, you got to have the right attitude. Number two, you got to have the right motivation. Your motivation is your why. You remember our series on why? You're not burnt out because of what you're doing. You get burnt out when you forget your why you're doing it. So if you want to be successful in your career, in your parenting, as a Christian, the Christian life, you got to maintain the right attitude. Number two, you got to maintain the right motivation. And here he says that if you want the peace of God, what's going to kickstart it? You know, I got a 1954 Harley Davidson, totally restored, had it built years ago by an ex-Hells Angel. And I was born in 54, so I want a 54 Harley. I've had it for years. And you know what? That thing's got a kickstart on it. And you know, I got to kickstart that to get that thing going. Well, you know what will kickstart your peace today? Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Pastor, I'm in turmoil. I'm stressed out. I'm frustrated. I'm upset. I'm angry. What should I do? Hallelujah. That's what you should do. You should rejoice in the Lord always. Father, I offer up the sacrifice of praise. I don't know what's happening. I don't know why it's happening. But God, I'm going to rejoice in you. I'm going to count it all joy. I'm going to give you praise. I'm going to give you glory. I'm going to sing unto the Lord. I'm going to make, you know, this morning the choir won't let me sing, so I was singing in the shower this morning. They won't, don't you get upset. They won't let you in. They won't let me in. And I'm singing in the shower this morning. Why? Because I want to direct my moods for the day and not them direct me.
Amen.
Amen. So what do? The problems aren't going to go away. You need the peace of God in the midst of the storm. How are you going to get it? Through the joy of the Lord. Well, I missed it right there. See why they don't want me in the choir? The joy of the Lord. Amen. Can we practice that? Come on, give the Lord your best joy praise. Come on, let's celebrate his goodness today. Hallelujah. Oh, so be of a good cheer. As the team comes out, take courage. Be confident, for I have overcome the world. I've defied it of its power to conquer you. Psalm 29, verse 11. Am I helping anybody today? Psalm 29, verse 11. Can we look at this today? Look at the screens. The Lord will. I like that. The Lord will. The Lord will give you strength unto his people, and the Lord will bless his people with what? Now, that's one of the 7,000 promises. I say, let's claim it.
Amen.
I say, let's claim it. God, you said you'd bless me with peace, and with that peace would come your strength. So, God, I claim it today. I may not feel like it. I may not look like it, but, God, I'm inside out. I'm led from within. Amen. You and I, we want to make a difference with our life, right? Check the sound there, would you guys? We want to make a difference with our life. I know you do. They did it. They did this little test. They got a group of 95-year-old men together. 95-year-old men. They got them together. They did this test. They asked these 95-year-old men, if you could live your life over again, if you could live your life over again, what would you do differently? Three things. Number one, they said we would enjoy life more. They said we would learn to enjoy the sunrise and the sunset and all the many wonders throughout the day. We would enjoy life more. Number two, these 95-year-old men, they said, you know, not only would we do that, enjoy life more, but we'd take bigger risk. We'd take bigger risk. You know, I look back at Kim and I's life, married 44 years. Every time God did something big in our life, it was because of a risk that we took. We stepped out when it looked impossible. To God be the glory. I asked Pastor Tommy Barnett one time, he's my pastor, 80 years old, what would you do differently? He said, Dave, I would have taken more risk. My mouth dropped. I don't know any preacher, any pastor that's taken more risk than Tommy Barnett. He said he'd take more risk. Number three, these 95-year-old dudes, they said, what'd they say? What was the third thing? Pray for the 64-year-old dude up here. Praise God. Number three, they said they would leave a legacy. Leave a legacy. If they had it to do all over again, they'd leave a legacy. If they had it to do all over again, they would enjoy life more, sunrise, sunset throughout the day. Stop and smell the roses. Number two, they would, what was number two? Take a risk. And number three was they'd leave a. Now, we're talking about legacy. I'm not talking about leaving cars and jewelry and real estate and houses and businesses to the next generation. Leaving a legacy really is depending on how many people you impact with your life. How many people will you impact with your life? Your family, obviously, but then from there, the next tier, the next tier, the next tier. Legacy comes from impacting other people, believing the best in them, bringing the best out of them, coaching them, challenging them, encouraging them, giving them resources. Legacy comes from making a difference with your life by impacting other people. Folks, if we're all the time using our faith for our own problems, if we're all the time concerned about ourselves and how hard life is for us, how can we impact other people? How can we lift them if we're always down and struggling and going from storm to storm to storm? I want to present to you today, at the end of this series, the answer to all of it. And it's peace with God. And then it's the peace of God.